It's just a funny story. There was a recent linguistics conference held in London, England, which was attended by some of the leading linguists of the world for the purpose of advancing education and the study of language acquisition, language usage, and language instruction. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce this. Sam Sundar Balgobin?
Is that a person?
Yeah. A world-renowned some kind of linguist, was the presenter of the conference when he was asked a formidable question. One of his colleagues in the erudite audience stood up and said, "Some say there's no difference between the word complete and finished. No dictionary has ever been able to satisfactorily define the difference between these two words. Please, honored sir, explain the difference in a way that's easy to understand. Complete and finished." There was a slight pause before Mr. Balgobin delivered his response.
And here's Copenhagen.
Here's the quote. "When you marry the right person, you are complete. If you marry the wrong person, you're finished. But pity the soul who strays from the first and ends up with the second. That person is completely finished." And with that introduction, we begin our discussion of Bashert.
It may have been the best introduction I've ever heard in my entire life.
The pasuk in Chai Yisar, so it tells us, "Vayan Lavan u'Besuel v'yomru." So remember, this is after Eliezer has this whole ruse where he creates, like we discussed, a coincidence out of something that should not have been a coincidence. And he's so convinced that according to Rashi, he even gave her all the presents before he knew who it was. Rabbeinu B'chai, other mafarshim actually say, because there's a contradiction, right? Because when he comes to, according to the psukim, where you read them, he gave her all these presents. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, who are you?" But when he tells over the story, "Love and B'suel," he doesn't tell it over like that. He says, "I asked her who she was, and then I gave her all the presents." So everybody wants to know, well, which one was it when it actually happened? There's a stira here. So Rashi says, well, when it actually happened, he had the confidence that it was obviously the right one. He gave her the presents before he even asked her who she was. But others learn that that's... So then how does he explain why he presented a different 11 in Besuel? Because they would have, you know, thought this guy was crazy. I'm not going to send him. Okay, but in any case... Others learn that that's what actually happened. It's just sort of like an Ein Mukta Muhar type of idea in the Psukim. Sometimes the Psukim are out of order or whatever. It presents it that way. Rabbeinu B'chai says differently. In any case, but when it finally gets presented to Lavan and B'suel, so they answer the question of, is it okay if she goes and marries Yitzchak? V'yan, Lavan, B'suel, they answer Eliezer, V'yomru, and they say, Me Hashem Yatza Hadavar. Me Hashem Yatza Hadavar. It's obviously... divine intervention, it's hashkacha pratis, based on your story. Obviously, this is all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Based on the presence of you.
Well, okay.
Or the presence that he brought.
The presence that... Well, no, based on his presentation of what he said happened. Because of that, we'll see Rashi in a second. Lo nuchal daber elecha ra oitoy. We have nothing to say, good or bad.
What does that mean, good or bad?
Good, so that's what you're wondering, right? So what would you say?
Maybe they say
bad would be like, well, no, she's not going to go with you. No, right. It's good.
Yes, she can go with
you. Who are we to acquiesce? Because obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen. So, is that what it means? Rashi, l'nuchal daber elecha. We have nothing to say. L'ma'ein b'davar hazeh, to refuse, right? You know what miyun is, right? Miyun, you familiar with miyun? The halacha of miyun means if you have a girl and her father is still alive, so he can marry her off when she's still a ketana. He has the ability to just, he has the ability to sell her.
Oh, but she can...
No, so in that case, there's nothing she can do about it. She'll have to get a get. But if the father's no longer alive, and the brothers, or her mother, or somebody else marries her off, that's only works to Rabbanan altogether.
So she has
the right to protest. It's called miyun.
Oh,
that's halacha of miyun.
And by her protesting, that cancels...
She doesn't even need a get. She can go ahead.
So then it's not a real kedusha.
The whole thing is a structured Rabbana. So that's just the halacha word. But that Rashi just says lima'ain, because mi'un, lima'ain, means to refuse. So Rashi says, we have nothing to say to refuse this request that she marry Yitzchak. Lo al yedei teshuvas davar ra, velo al yedei teshuvas davar hagun. Whether it's something we say that's bad or something that makes sense. Either way, levishenikar shemei Hashem yatza davar. It's obvious. If this is coming from Hashem, at least lefi devarecha shizimnalach. At least according to the way you presented it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has obviously paved the way.
Why is
for
Rashi saying it like that? Lefi devarecha shizimnalach.
I mean, I think Rashi is bothered by it. Like, how do they know me Hashem Yatavar? I mean, they're saying it's like, you know, according to what you said. Maybe there was a certain suffix in their minds. Sounds like not. But according to what Eliezer had told them, based on his presentation, assuming that's all correct, so then what are we supposed to say? So if I would ask you, and I'm going to, this proves what about Shiduchim Min HaShemayim?
That they are Min HaShemayim.
Always? Or in this particular case?
Well, the way Rashi says it with, at the very end, it's almost like it's only because of the presentation that it seems like Hashkacha Pratas.
Their recognition of it. As Rashi is pointing out, that for Lavan and Besuel to say, Mehashem Yatza Adavar, it's like, you know, according to what you say, you know, would clear that this is Mehashem Yatza Adavar.
Right, but it makes it almost seem like it's just this case because it's like a...
So in this particular case, it's Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar. Is it always like that? Lav Davka, who says? So if you're learning Pashup Shad in this Pasuk, it seems to me that they're making a statement that based on this incredible incident, in this particular case, so clearly this was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it always like that? Who says?
Can't you learn that specifically because Eliezer creates the circumstance that only... It's only because of the circumstance that then HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes.
What are you saying?
That, like, can't you say that a proof, I guess, if you're going to say that it's only this case would be from the fact that... be from the fact that Eliezer creates a circumstance, so then therefore...
That proves it's Me'ashem Yatzah.
Right, but then... But it's only for this case because it was only for this case that...
The proof, right.
Yeah.
But maybe it's always Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar. Maybe not, though. Anyways, that's what I'm trying to ask. Is there any raya from this pasuk that, oh, you know, every time a person gets married, it's obviously Me'ashem. So in this case, it happened to be clear. Eliezer went out of his way, even though he knew more or less who he was supposed to go get for Yitzchak. He went out of his way to create this mikra. Hakre nalafanai, he creates this mikra, this accident out of this situation, and that proves that it's Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar. Is it always Me'ashem Yatzah Adavar? I don't know. So I'm just saying, from the pasuk shad, I'm not sure how much I would have made out of this pasuk on my own. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right.
The but is, you take a look at Chazal. The Gemara here in Moed Kan Yid Chesem and Beis. I'm a Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Ruvain Bein Itzrobili. Doesn't come up. I don't think that much. Got to take a search and find out how much he comes up in Jas. Min haTorah umin haNeviim umin haKsuvim meHashem Isha laIsh. You take a look in Tanakh, in all three, Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim, you'll find an indication that Isha laIsh, husband and wife coming together, is mamish meHashem, Hashkach Pratis. Min haTorah deSiv beYan Lavanu beSuav veYoimru meHashem Yatzah Adavar. Quotes our pasuk. So that's what I'm pointing out to you. This Chazal, it says Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar. It's from a pasuk that, yeah, in this case, it's clear Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar. Are they saying it's based on the clarity that we recognize it's Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar, but it's always Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar, but MS, it's just in this case it was clear? So the Gemara is out on a limb here. It's saying Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar, we need to take more than just, oh, in this particular case, it was Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar. Your whole incident, your whole raya, is just goes to show that it's always Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar.
But how are you getting that? Because also, when you have the same situation with Lavan later with Yaakov, there's no Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar there. No? Like with...
What do you mean?
With every other... This is the only place in the entire Torah, no, that this comes up? Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar, in terms of, like, a marriage?
Well, according to Chazal, you find a pasuk that indicates it in Ternavim and Ksuvim.
Right, but this is the pasuk that they're choosing for Torah.
This is the pasuk in Chumash, right? Because they say, Me Hashem Yatzah Hadar.
But it's only in this case that it
says
that.
Source. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is saying. It seems, so one possibility is this is Stam just a drasha. This is a Masorah that Chazal had, and this is a drasha. They pinned it on the Pasuk, Hashem Yatzah Hadar, because that's what the words mean, Hashem Yatzah Hadar. But in the Chanami, the Pashut Pshat doesn't necessarily indicate that. Or maybe the Pashut Pshat also indicates that. That their statement of Hashem Yatzah Hadar was a statement of, we recognize Hashem Yatzah Hadar.
Right.
But in Chanami, it's always true. It's just that it's not usually recognizable. Now, they may not admit to that. That may not have been what they meant to say. But nonetheless, that's what Eliezer perhaps succeeded in proving. That he's trying to demonstrate, that's what we discussed last week, he's trying to demonstrate that he made out of a situation that should have been pretty straightforward, he created this pella, he created a coincidence out of it. And that was the opposite we said by Rus. That by Rus it says Vayikar Mikreha, the same lashon of Hakrei Not Lefanai that Eliezer says, Gosh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please make a coincidence, you know. So for Rus, so he says that her accident happened to her, and she ended up in the field of Boaz. So anyway, so maybe you could tie it to the Pashut Pshat. Definitely something worth considering. Either way, that's what Chazal are saying, and he provides other pesukim. And the next one's a little bit also astonishing. I don't know if we're going to get this next Zman or not. Min ha-Neviim d'chsev, ve'aviv ve'imoy lo yada'u kimei Hashem hi. We're in the middle of source number 3.
Wait, what?
The Gemara Moed Kan Yud Chesem and Beis. That from Neviim you see that me Hashem isha la'ish. By the way, what is it? Why is it me Hashem isha la'ish? How come it doesn't say that ish ve'ish or ish ve'isha or something is me Hashem? Why is it isha la'ish? So as we're going to see, it sounds like the whole designation has to do primarily with the Ish, and he's provided with an Isha.
Because, that's also what happens with Adam, right? He's
okay.
He's provided.
Okay.
And also so we'll see the that nature for man to
go take, after her.
Yeah.
Is that really it or not? Maybe.
Is it also in Chassidus Parsha, it says that Yitzchak loves Rachel because
that's interesting. Okay. So what's the raya from Neviim? So I don't know if you know this pasuk offhand. The pasuk will translate it means, and his parents, his mother and his father and his mother, didn't know that it was from Hashem. Any idea? Take a guess. It's in Shoftim.
Shimshon.
Good. Where does it happen by Shimshon? Which is a random guess.
Seriously?
Where does it happen? Yeah, where does it happen by Shimshon? You know? I think you remember the story of Shimshon? It's in the middle of the Moed Katan Yud Chesem and Beis. Right in the middle. So if you remember the story, so Shimshon tells his parents he wants to marry this Plishti Shiksa. Yeah? She's not Jewish. She thought she's a Plishti girl. Did she convert? Did she not convert? What's the story over here? Not clear from the Psukim. What's the chat? And he tells his parents that he wants to marry this Plishti girl. And they're like, oh. And the Pesukim describe it was all really an agenda of his. He wanted to create a situation where basically he would be able to take revenge against the Plishtim and it not be viewed politically as coming from someone that was had clout in Klal Yisrael. It wouldn't become like a war between Klal Yisrael. It would become like an internal battle. But in any case, it says that he told his parents that's who he wants to marry and they, you know, arranged it, but they did not know Kimei Hashem Hi. It was from Hashem. Now, Pashut Pshat, what does it mean? It was from Hashem. That either HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually commanded him to do this, even though the Pesukim doesn't say that, or it was some kind of Ruach HaKodesh, and it was some kind of sense he had that it was Mei Hashem, but it wasn't necessarily a direct Tzivui. I don't know. You got to take a look and see how the Mefarshim understand it. But that's the second Pesuk, Kimei Hashem Hi. A shocking Raya doesn't really seem to be, well, how does that indicate that that's always true? And in that particular case.
For marriage, though, it could just be... I don't understand how you're getting this for marriage. You could just say that it's for specifically that his agenda wasn't his agenda. His agenda...
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There's no raya. Hashem, Yishalish from here. So, it's very interesting. Gemara brings that as a second raya. And then another raya. Quotes from Mishle. Hashem, Yisha Maskelas.
Of course I'm Yishai.
Yeah, so in any case, I ain't Sham. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara has an idea where, I don't know, it seems to be quoting Sukkim that indicated if you read the words, but when you understand the context of these words, it doesn't necessarily seem to be really a very strong Raya in any of them, but that's what the Gemara insists. Me Hashem Isha La'ish. And it's indicated in three places, Eternity Bim and Ksuvim. That's what the Gemara says. Very, very interesting. Okay. A little bit clearer is the next Mari. Welcome over here. Saita Bezim and Aleph, famous Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said that he heard from Rav. You know the Mishum, right? We spoke about that, right? That whenever it says Mishum someone else, it means in the name of, which means he didn't actually hear it from him. But when it says Omar Rav, that means he's saying Rav said, meaning he heard it. He heard Rav say. Yeah. In any case, what did he hear from Rav? Arboim yom kodi mitziras avlad. 40 days before the formation of a fetus, there is a bas kol, the daughter of a voice, meaning some kind of heavenly echo, if you will. Yotzeis, it somehow comes out from Shemayim. Ve'omeres and states bas ploini leploini, the daughter of so-and-so for so-and-so. So by the way, it's the female is being designated for the male. In other words, the male is the one that is 40 days before his Yitzira. And at 40 days before his Yitzira, this heavenly echo announces the daughter of so-and-so is for so-and-so.
What does that mean, 40 days before?
Okay, so that's...
The daughter, or is it a child?
The daughter of so-and-so, whoever so-and-so is, some other person out there, is designated for this baby that was just conceived.
Also, where is he getting this from?
Okay, so good questions, all of which I was going to ask. Number one, so what is 40 days before the Yetzirah? What does that mean? So I think Pashtur Pshat is that halach lemaisa, what's the story with a quote-unquote baby before it's even 40 days old? It's not considered anything. It's considered maya ba'alma. It's like a liquid. It's not really a fetus in any way, shape, or form. There's no such thing as an abortion before 40 days. It's really nothing. So a little bit of a kasha discussed in the context of all of these inyan and bashert is, but can't you daven to change the sex of the child for the first 40 days? Leia daven, right? There are all sorts of... In any case, so that's a part of this discussion as well. We probably will not get to that part. But... Before 40 days, it's not really anything. Which would seem to mean that that's the time of the formation of the child. So 40 days after conception is when the baby's considered something. So the formation, the Yitzira, is 40 days later. The Bria, so to speak, the conception of the child is 40 days prior to the Yitzira. So that means conception. At the moment of conception, that is when this Bas Kol goes out and says, Bas Ploni, Liploni. Now, it's not the same Ploni. That's what you were confused by, I think. Bas Ploni means the daughter of so-and-so, we'll call him Mr. X, is designated for baby Y. Okay.
X-Y chromosomes.
It seems that the husband always has to be older than the wife.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
So.
It's 40 differences.
Yeah. So let's think it through. So how could it go? See, if it's Bas Ploni, Liploni, if it means that she's already alive. So maybe she's already been born even.
Because it's 40 days before conception.
Of this baby, the boy. So the daughter of so-and-so is designated for him. So at this point in our learning, we haven't gotten far yet, but at this point we could suggest that it means maybe someone that's already alive. Maybe you should marry an older woman. Maybe it means a daughter of so-and-so that's already in the world. Maybe that's who's designated as his wife in the future. Or maybe it means someone who's not even born yet. The daughter of so-and-so who will be born later on. You know, but that's difficult because how do you identify someone who's not even born yet? Is it possible that she's also being conceived at the same second? It doesn't sound like that, does it? Bas Ploni Leploni is like a designation.
No.
So either it's a raya that you have to marry an older woman, or we got to work out how it could be that you could designate someone that doesn't exist yet. Or maybe we could squeeze in that it means, you know, that she's also come into existence at the same moment. I don't know. Doesn't necessarily sound like it. And then the second point that Sam made, of course, was that, how does Rav know this? What pasuk says this?
It doesn't.
Nothing. He has no makor.
Mi'ashem yatzom et hadavar.
So he doesn't quote it. He doesn't quote that. And you'll notice it's not in the same place. That's Moed Katan, and this is Saita. So Rav just says this is a Masorah we have from Rav. How did Rav know it? Don't know. He doesn't tell us how he knew this. Okay? We'll take Rav's word for it. Now, that Gemara happens to be in a context, and that's where the shir really begins, because everybody knows about Bashert. What do you need to give a shir about Bashert for? That's obvious. So the answer is that this is actually brought in the Gemara as a kasha. This is a kasha, because that's not how the Gemara begins. You'll see in a second. The next Gemara, I quoted the next part for you, the next source, is the full Gemara, at least the snippet of it. So the full Gemara does not begin with this assumption. It begins actually with the opposite assumption. What do I mean? So the Mishnah tells us there's a concept, of course, of Saita. We know that.
Yes.
So, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, ki have a pasach reish lakish b'saita. Reish lakish would open up with a Saita. What do you mean opened up with a Saita? You find this phrase pretty frequently in the Gemara. When someone would be pasach something. What does it mean?
It means they open it up like the topic, no?
So that's what I would have thought. But Rav Katan suggested recently, so you know what the pshat is? The pshat is that back then, when they opened something, you know what they opened? They opened the Sefer Torah. They opened up a Sefer Torah to start learning. Why didn't they open the Gemara?
Because they are the Gemara.
There was nothing else to open. So what does it mean to open? Pasach means you open up the Chumash. Because you start with the Pasach, you start with the Torah Shebichsav, and out of the Torah Shebichsav comes the Torah Shebalpeh. So Pasach meant they started learning the topic of Saita because they physically opened the Sefer Torah and they were at the part in they were coming at the Parshas Saita.
They didn't have that handy dandy art scroll Tanakh.
Yeah. That's what it means, Pasach. Pasach, literally. So when Reish Lakish would begin discussing the topic of Saita, Omar Hachi, this is what he would say. Ein mezavgin leila adam isha ella lefi ma'asav. It's like in the passive. Who's the one? It doesn't say who is it. It's obviously it means, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu or whoever is doing this. But in Mezavgin, they don't create a pair for a man, Isha, his wife, Ella Lefi Ma'asav, except according to his actions, normal English. The Zivug, the pair, the woman that's set prepared for a man, goes, is prepared in accordance with his behavior. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi on the spot, at least, Rashi says, Tsunua la tzaddik, uprutza la rasha. It works both ways. If he's a tzaddik, he'll get an isha tsunua, a very modest lady. And if he's a rasha, he'll get a prutza. First, so then he brings a raya. But first things first, why is Reish Lakish saying this here? Why does he have to start soita with this vort? Every time he learns soita, he's got to start with this vort. What's the pshat? What do you say?
What is Sukkah? Well, I know what you're saying. So, like, if she is a fruta, she has more, she will most likely be also eventually, so she'll have to deal with Sota.
In other words, it all goes back to who?
Him.
Interesting, right? So Reish Lakish is sitting there with all his Talmidim, and he's saying, you know, you should just realize that if there's a Sota, that does reflects on the husband. Because if she's a prutza, ein mezavgin l'adam el lefi ma'asav. Obviously it goes back to him. Very interesting, no? You're not impressed. Okay, no. And then it goes to Pasuk. Lo yanuach shevet ha'rosh al goro tzadik. Fine. Amar Rabba bar Barchan Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan expanded this vort and said something additional. Vikashin, Rashi says, Lifnei HaMakom, and it's difficult, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, obviously, what does that mean? Difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, okay, we'll see what it says. It's difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lizav Vagun. What does it mean, Lizav Vagun?
To pair up.
To pair them. Kikriyas Yamsuf.
Like, because of Kriyat Yamsuf?
Like, splitting the Reed Sea.
That's what difficult is?
Apparently, to put these two people together is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, Rashi.
Shenishtanu Sidrei Breishis.
Shenishtanu Sidrei Breishis. Because it required changing the laws of nature, the order of creation.
And that was difficult for a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I think it's just written in a human language, so we can understand.
It's difficult. It's as difficult for a Kadosh Baruch Hu as it was to split the sea.
I'm not saying it was difficult, I'm saying that was the level of difficulty. Who knows if that's a lot or not? It probably isn't.
It's not something that's natural. It requires
actual thought.
Breaking the laws of nature, no?
Yes.
So then what does this mean?
Apparently,
you should appreciate
because there's a special zivug that's arranged for a person that's based on his actions. And it's not something that's predestined or preordained or built into his nature or her nature or the nature of the world. It's something that just is ad hoc and changes based on the changing of the people involved. Therefore, to bring these two people together that apparently are appropriate for each other based on the here and now is extremely complicated. That's what it sounds like. Shenemar lekim Moishiv yechidim b'isa motzi yisrim b'kosharos b'isa motzi yisrim b'kosharos. Rashi explains the pasuk kotzi yitzishom mitzrayim b'chodesh kasher l'chavu leitzina makish zivug yechidim leitzias mitzrayim. There are a lot of different pshatim of what exactly the pasuk is indicating, but motzi yisrim b'kosharos. Rashi learns there's a few different explanations, but kosharos in the Medrash. Rashi, what he quotes on the Gemara, is that it refers to b'shas ha-kosher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out in a nice season, right? We're all used to that word, right? That Yitzias Mitzrayim was in Nisan, not too hot, not too cold, not the rainy season. So Rashi learns that's the connection. Elokim Moishiv Yechidim Beisa, that the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects individuals to create a home, that's the first half of the pasuk, is connected to Motzi Asrim B'Kosharos, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what's the connection between the two? So that's what the Gemara, Rashi learned from the Gemara, that it's as difficult for a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Kriyas Yamsuf because Kriyas Yamsuf was a function of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It needs a little bit more explanation, but that's not our agenda for today. Ini asks the Gemara, how could that be? Now remember, the Gemara's made two statements, right? What are the two statements of the Gemara?
The first one is that it's only based on your action. Rish Lakish's statement,
mm-hmm.
It's based on your actions. And the second one is that it's as
difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf.
Yeah.
How could that be?
What? The second one?
Well, I don't know.
Well, the second one is based on the first one.
Okay, so maybe it's a question on both. How could that be?
It's a question on the second one. Wouldn't, by extension, it be a question on the first one as well because it's based on it?
Maybe. Let me. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. But Rav Yehuda also said, in the name of Rav, this is the same Rav. Arboim yom kodim yitziras avlad. Oh, this is what we just quoted, right? The famous Gemara. 40 days before yitziras avlad, the formation of the vlad, there's a bas kol yotzeh v'omeres bas ploni leploni. So what's the kasha? What's the kasha in the Gemara?
It's something that's set before. It's not based on your actions.
Okay, so back to the first point, it seems, right? That's a Rashi learned for sure.
Why can't it be a mix of both?
What?
It must be a cutoff point, like in your age. Like they take up all of that in your age, and then...
You want to answer a question? What's your question?
What Sam was like kind of asking as I was answering. The point, like, it's not... It's obviously predetermined before your actions, then. But...
Right.
So
how could Rav? And it's a contradiction between Rav himself. Rav's the one that said that there's this zivug, there's this basher that's predetermined for a person when he's conceived. And then Rav's going to say it all depends on his actions? So that seems to be...
Seem from there that there'd be multiple assignments.
Or you want to answer the kasha.
Yeah.
But that's the kasha, right?
I guess that is the kasha.
The other possible way to look at the kasha is, how difficult could it possibly be if it's predestined? How could you be breaking laws of nature? This is part of nature. This is how the child was conceived. That's if you limit the question to the difficulty. But you still have to wonder about the first point. It still seems to be a contradiction between what Rav said, because it can't be both based on your actions and predestined. Can it?
It can be multiple basherets.
Say better.
It's a puzzle.
Maybe a kind
it's
of
It's based on your actions and it's predestined. How could that be?
A kind of basheret?
Because,
multiple girls and guys that are destined.
Say better. There's one basheret.
It has to be on the man. So that means the man has multiple chances with like different people for different
levels
that he could be at.
No, you're being too complicated.
Fine. So if by your actions you're affecting who your shirt will be.
No.
How can it be the same one if your actions affect
it? It'll be the same girl.
She'll change also.
She will change based on you. You'll affect the relationship between you and Bashir.
She'll change also.
Okay, all right. I hear what you're saying.
It's like a magnetic.
You know what I would say, a little bit differently, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows what I'm going to be. So even though he announced it upon my conception, he knows what I'm going to be at the time that I'm ready to get married. And therefore, the one that he had predestined for me is based on his calculations about where I will end up.
So I was right about the free will thing.
I didn't hear you say anything about free will.
I said free will. I said that we must not have free will.
Good. Yeah? Now, if you say that, you have a free will problem. Do you or do you not?
Wait, so are we saying that every guy has one girl? That's it?
Oh my gosh. Even though this has been going
there
for 30
minutes,
there
are not that many fish in the sea.
We have several pages to get through here. So you have to have some patience with me. This is not a question. This is an interesting sugya. It's a fascinating sugya. But the first point is, this is the Gemara that discusses Bashert. Some other sources we'll see. But this is the basic Gemara that shows you that there seems to be a problem, a tension, a stira, a contradiction between whether or not it's predestined or whether or not it's based on our actions. So the Gemara assumes that's a contradiction. We could answer the contradiction by saying, why should that be a contradiction? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. Now, the Gemara doesn't like that answer. How do I know the Gemara doesn't like that answer? Because that's not the answer that the Gemara gives. The answer that the Gemara gives, if you take a look, the last line here, Lokashya, ha bezug rishon, ha bezug sheni. That one of them is a first zug, and one of them is a second zug. Now, we have no idea what that means. We're making all kinds of assumptions, but we have no idea what that means. The first pairing and a second pairing. That may mean a few different things. But stop, before we discuss that, we have to discuss the first point. What about this whole vort of free will? How come we can't just say that there's a girl that's destined based on what a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows we will choose in the future? So Rashi addresses that and says like this. Next source. Ini, how could that be? Me have a zivug lefi resha v'zuchus. How could it be that it's based on your actions, a person being basically bad or good? V'hami kodim itziras and shein no da resha v'zuchus v'maskir nesugav. Because it's announced before what? It's known his evil or his merit. Before it's known. Yeah, you see that word? Interesting word. V'im tomar, and if you'll say, HaKol galui lefanav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So obviously he can create a zivug based on ma'isim. That's also preordained. That's what Rashi's asking.
No, it's kol b'dei shamayim except
for... That's his answer. But the question is, why can't you just give that answer? Why not say pashut?
Yer shamayim, HaKol b'dei shamayim.
That's what Rashi writes. Because HaKol b'dei shamayim, that's Rashi. That's what he says. Chutz miyiras shemayim. You're right on track. Kido amar b'maseches nida malach amamuna ala harayim. The malach that's in charge of pregnancies, of children being born, noitel tipa, he brings the drop, so to speak, umeviya lifnei amokom, and he brings it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'oimer, and he says, lefanav HaKadosh Baruch Hu tipa zu, this drop, matei aleha, what's going to be with it? Giboroi chalosh. It's going to be physically very strong or going to be physically weak. Chachamo tipe, it's going to be very wise or it's going to be stupid. Asheroni, it's going to be wealthy, going to be poor. And that's the end of the list of questions. Avot tzadik v'rasha like amar lei. But whether or not it's going to be a tzadik or a rasha is not one of the shailas and not one of the terutzim. The ein zeh bidei shamayim. Now, wait a minute. Is everything bidei shamayim? Mm-hmm. Rashi quoted it. Hakol bidei shomayim, chutz miyiras shomayim. So what does that really mean? What's Rashi really trying to say exactly?
It's up to us.
What's up to us?
To be
Tzadik or Rasha.
Yeah. Tzadik or Rasha.
Yeah.
So what does it have to do with her?
Because where we're at will influence our thinking. No? So then if that's the case, then...
But add them to be provided with a wife. Doesn't, I mean, you could have argued, we're going to dispute this in a minute, but you could have argued Be'etzem, who this guy is provided with as his wife, should be preordained. Why not? What does that have to do with his Yiras Shamayim? Whether he's wise or not is not up to him. Our IQ is given to us. But our IQ is given to us. Certain things are preordained, right? There are certain things we can't change. We are who we are in certain ways, and certain things we can change. But certain things we cannot change. It's not in our realm of Yiras Shamayim. It's not in our realm of Bechira. And not everything is free choice. Right? We're given a certain IQ. I think it's a great example. Chacham Atipish. Then you're stuck with it. And that's fine. That's who we are. So maybe that's the wife. And that's the context that we live in. That's the wife you get. You got to deal with it. How do you know not? So Rashi's answer to that seems to be, because since it's based on his tzidkus, or rishus, that's not, quote-unquote, known before he's done that. Yeah? So there's no way to set in advance something that will depend on that. Yeah? Not because the Isha per se is a problem. It's not a problem, I think, according to Rashi, it's not a problem that he should end up with a certain wife and then his choices will have to be made within that context. I don't think Rashi's bothered by that. Rashi's bothered by, yeah, but it's based on him, which isn't known at the time before he's done anything yet. Now, what does it mean it's not known? Akash Baruch doesn't know. So this brings us into a major philosophical conversation that we're not going to have right now, but just throwing it out there. So, you know, Rashi is taking Lecha Ora, that type of approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, whatever that means, he doesn't deal with a person's choices before he makes them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't create a world where he addresses a person's choices before he makes them. So it's not possible to create a wife for a person that's based on his future decisions. I don't know if you got everything I was trying to say, but let me contrast it for 1 minute. There's a different kasha. We're going to see in a 1 second. We're going to see in a minute that there are others like the Rambam who are bothered by a slightly different angle on this. I think the Rambam is bothered by, but choosing a wife is part and parcel of Yiras Shamayim itself. Why? Because I have to get married to do the mitzvah of Pru Urvu. That's my Yiras Shamayim. Any mitzvah must be up to my bechira. So to choose my wife to facilitate Pru Urvu must be in the purview of my bechira. You know how that's a different question? Rashi is looking at it like you can't set her up with me because it's based on a future decision.
Whereas this one's, it's
Rama said you can't. Yeah,
in part of.
How could you say that? How could you say that she's predestined when the choice of who I'm going to marry is part of my bechira by definition because it's part and parcel of my mitzvah Pru Urvu.
Which means it's part and parcel also of
my bechira Shema.
Yeah,
and then from my bechira. Yeah, but okay, that's a subtle difference. But that's I think a difference between Rashi and Rama, if you're careful. Okay, but in any case, what did you just ask?
I don't remember, actually.
Sorry. Yeah, no, so Rashi learns the question is, what's going on over here? Obviously, you can't, so it's a fascinating Rashi, because Rashi did two things. Rashi number one says, the question is, how could it be according to Resha and Zuchus, but that's not known? And then Rashi pulls a Tosfos on us. You see this? It's not crazy, but it's not the norm either for Rashi to say Vehim Tomar. Yeah, you with me on this? That's a Tosfos thing to do. But Rashi does it occasionally. And if you'll say, so then I'll answer you. And that's what Rashi did here. And if you'll say, what do you mean? Why is that not a good teretz? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. The teretz says it's based on Bechira, and therefore that can't be. So LMI, we have a problem. How could it be that the Zivug is predestined, and at the same time, based on his Maisim, it cannot be? That's the kasha. That's where we're at. Yeah? Good? Isaac, you with us? So, the answer to the Gemara is what? What's the answer to the Gemara? What does it say?
Zug Rishon and Zug Sheni.
Good.
What does that mean?
We have no idea. What are some possibilities? Well, does Rashi indicate anything? Rashi, Zug Sheni. Lefi Ma'asav. Okay, first things first, Rashi tells us which one's which. That's important.
Zug Sheni is according to his action.
Right. Which means Zug Rishon
would be the
one. Tabasco.
Right.
We'll call it Tabasco. Yeah. So Zug Rishon is Basco. Then
why wouldn't Zug Rishon also be Zug Masav? Because if he goes according, what would he have to do in order to reach that? Because if that's just,
I think it's part of the problem. What is Zug Rishon? Once we figure out what Zug Rishon is, then we can start to answer some of these kinds of questions.
Rashi, wouldn't it be the other one? We have two choices and two choices. If we're matching up Masav to Zug Sheni, then wouldn't Baskel be Zug Rishon?
That's what she says.
Right, so then,
sounds like you have one chance for Zug Rishon. I'm just toying with the idea now. I'm not saying what is going on here yet, because we have to figure this out. But it sounds like there's some kind of Zug Rishon. And if, for whatever reason, it didn't work out, it passed, or a person failed to keep it or something, so then there's Zug Sheni. Now, something that I think is lost in this Gemara and should not be, is that Zug Sheni is a Zivug. Right, Isaacs? Zug Sheni...
Maybe I have a final in 30 minutes.
Zug Sheni is a Zivug. The Gemara says it's Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf. Oh, we didn't answer that yet. Rashi. So Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf is Zug Rishon or Zug Sheni?
Rashi, Zug Sheni is
Masav. Kashik Lizavgon Lufi Sheina Bas Zugo. That's the same, that's the Rashi, right? Two Rashi has two things.
Yeah.
Number one, Zug Sheni is the one that's Lufi Masav. And number two, it's the Zug Sheni that's Kashik Lizavgon because it's not Bas Zugo. That's not his predestined Zivug. Yeah?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
I don't understand how he reaches the predestined Zivug, because that would be myself. No? Masav?
No, Zug Sheni is going to be myself.
Right, but I'm saying, how is he going to reach Zug Rishon? Like,
I think I know what's bothering you, and we'll spell it out in a second. So, 1 second. So, okay, so just to clarify, so again, I want to make one point, which is that the Zug Sheni should not be misunderstood. It's not pshat that, oh, Nebuch, you know, you ended up with a loser because you messed up on Zug Rishon. The whole concept of Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf, why should it be Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf? Maybe Zug Sheni just means, you know, you find somebody in a bar. The Terence says because Zug Sheni also is a Zivug. Let's not get confused. There's one that's like predestined or something like that, and Rashi's saying that that's not even Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf, because that's like built into to Bria. That's what it sounds like, right?
Right.
Which is interesting. Why is that not Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf? Maybe they're on opposite sides of the world. I mean, they're not going to be enough. They're going to be on the same block. Like, why is that not Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf? We don't know.
Yeah.
But the second one apparently is such a significant Zivug that it requires a lot to maybe even bring them together. But don't make a mistake. It's not because, oh, you get to pick whoever you want at that point. It's a Zivug. And it has to be provided by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that could be very complicated. I think that gets lost in this Gemara. Okay, but in any case, Viter. So now, you're bothered by, wait a minute, what can you spell out your kasha?
I have no idea how, because I don't know how to put in
okay,
the other words.
Tell me if this is what's bothering you. So, if you say that there's a Zug Rishon and a Zug Sheni, now, our initial assumption, I think, maybe this isn't your assumption, but my initial assumption, I'll try to prove it to you that it's the basic assumption, is that Zug Rishon means a first marriage.
Yes, first pairing.
The first pairing, meaning a first marriage. A person gets married to a girl. Doesn't mean necessarily the first person he's set up with, unless you're reading those impressive books. But, does he have a skirt? But, it means the first marriage. Now, we'll see in a second maybe a couple of riots for that. But if it means that, so then it's not Lefi Masav?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, process this kasha.
So that's.
It's one of the Isaacs. You don't have a final coming up, right?
Mid.
No. So process
this. Right, so I didn't know how to say that.
Well, process this, yeah. Kasha. Wait a minute. If I assume, it's based on assumption, if I assume that Zug Rishon means first marriage, and it's only Zug Sheni that's Lefi Masav, that means Zug Rishon is not Lefi Masav.
That's what it says.
So we're almost back to where we started from. So then it's not based on Tzadik V'Rasha.
There's two versions.
Right? So a guy could end up with a girl that's Mamish... I mean, apparently divinely destined for him, but, you know, not exactly Lifi Ma'asav. Maybe in a Chanam, it has to be Lifi Ma'asav, because that's the predestined Zivug. It's obviously a Kirsch Baruch's whole plan for you. This is his tikkun. This, you know, if he has trouble with his wife, that's part of, you know, what he's supposed to go through.
If you have a test, is there heter to learn it in the bathroom?
No.
So, whatever this original Zivug is, I don't know, maybe that will come with certain complications. But wait a minute. But then it's not Lifi Ma'asav. Is his Bechira involved in that?
Yeah, so I...
According to Rashi, Rashi Lachar was bothered by this Kasha. According to Rashi, that's not a Kasha. Because the only Kasha is if the Zivug is based on Ma'asav, which depends on the future.
Right.
But oh, it's based on some heavenly calculation. It has nothing to do with his decisions in the future. So then he could be provided with the Zivug that may be appropriate for him, you know, in some objective sort of sense, despite where he may be right now. But then you end up with a strange conclusion. So this woman who's this tremendously tzanua tzadekes will end up marrying this Russia? Because it's a Zug Rishon. How's that even going to happen? Is that really true?
Like Avigail.
Well, so maybe there's something to what you're saying. But really?
Not
so,
Cumberland.
But the Rambam will have a bigger problem with this. Because how could it possibly be that you'll set up somebody and he's forced to marry a woman? He ends up having to marry this woman, but he can't possibly be forced because it's part of Bechira. Because it's part of Yerush Shemayim, because it facilitates the mitzvah for Ravu.
That's what the Rambam would say.
Maybe we'll have to get, yeah. Maybe that's a difficulty for the Rambam.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to say, well, because only a Hechsher mitzvah, it's not really the mitzvah. Hechsher mitzvah is not part of Yerush Shemayim. Because who says that marrying is a mitzvah per se?
It's not. When you're Peruvu is the mitzvah.
Is there a mitzvah to get married? That's the shaila. Is there a mitzvah to get married, or is there no mitzvah to get married?
I thought it's not
to facilitate Peruvu.
Yeah, I thought
okay,
it was
not. So we'll leave that for another time.
Yeah.
So, interesting sukkah. Fine. So, just to try and bring a shtickle raya, there's a gemara here in Gittin Sadiyum at Bees. Kisane shalach. Because hated, sent. I'm translating that like that for a reason. What does that mean? Ki hated sent. So the Gemara has a drasha here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im sinei isa shalach. If you hate her, if you hate your wife, shalach, send her out, get rid of her. Okay. Meaning you're allowed to divorce a woman even because, you know, you don't like her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, sanuya mishaleach. Rabbi Yehuda says if a person divorces his wife, then the guy is hated. What? Well, these are mamish opposite things over here. Meaning, does he hate her or he's hated in the eyes of a Kaddish Baruch Hu? V'loy pligi. They're not arguing. Habazug rishon, habazug sheni. Pashup shat.
So the first one is zug rishon and the second one is zug sheni?
That's what it sounds like. Meaning a person that divorces his first wife. So apparently, we'll see in a second that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is not so happy about that. But if it's a second marriage... Goodbye and good luck. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, call him a garish ishta rishoina. Whoever divorces his first wife, I feel the mizbeach married love the most. Even the mizbeach, so to speak, cries upon him tears. Shneimar, when it quotes a source for that.
So that's so awkward.
So therefore.
Sounds like it's exactly parallel to our Gemara. Sounds like it's exactly parallel to our Gemara. If you assume that Zug Rishon means first marriage, so the first marriage means it's Min HaShamayim. This was the predestined Zivug. One second. This is the predestined Zivug. And therefore, for a person to divorce his first wife, it's like going against the decree Min HaShamayim. And the Mizbeach is
but then that's
Christ
the Pharaoh?
Because where is this Kapara going to come from? Where is this Tikkun going to come from? This is the woman that a Kaddish Baruch Hu says you're supposed to marry. And this is, perhaps that's the word of the Mizbeach crying. Then the Mizbeach represents Kapara and represents the atonement for a person.
Well,
maybe that's how he was going to achieve his Tikkun is with this original wife. So it's the cries for him if he divorces his first wife. But the second wife is all the Femaisim anyway. And so, you know, okay, so find somebody else the Femaisim or something like that.
This must only apply to a man.
It's always from the perspective of the man, these things. So interesting.
Don't we also say...
The Torah has multiple... You can have multiple wives.
But they were talking about the first one. First one.
The first wife you would marry, even if you have multiple wives, would be your...
First one?
Share. The rest are just...
The Femaisav.
Kicked to the side.
No, the Femaisav. They're appropriate, and it's a Zivug. But it's not the predestined...
You're saying that those women never have a share.
It's the second type of Basher. It's the Basher. That's Lefi Ma'isa of Basher.
Those women never had
sex. And it's Kashin Kikir's Yamsuf. That's what I was trying to point out a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, so you're saying what I was saying. So Leah was Yaakov's Basher.
Good question. Very good question. Okay, I don't know. Good question. Very good question. Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'm trying to say right now.
All right, you come up with something. The second Gemara, I'm not going to read through this right now. It's a fascinating Gemara. It's got a lot of details. But the only thing I wanted to bring out of it, if you want to take a look on your own, is that this Gemara quotes Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf, and it asks, how could it be Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf if Arbim Yom Kor Mitziras Avlad? Yeah?
Yeah.
It doesn't quote in Mezavim L'Adam Elofi Masov. It leaves that out this time. And all of that is, and it answers Zivik Rishon Zivik Sheini.
Didn't we already establish that that's based on
okay, fair enough, but it's worth thinking about. And that whole Gemara in Sanhedrin of Chaf Beis is all in the context of first marriage and divorce. And all. Again, it throws it in L'cha'ora to that whole Sugya, indicating that Zug Rishon means first marriage, Zug Sheini means subsequent marriage. That's all I want to say from that second Gemara. But at least from the first one, it seems pretty clear that's how the Gemara understood it. So you get the impression from Sanhedrin also that Zug Rishon refers to first and Zug Sheni refers to subsequent marriages. Truth of the matter is, you can even find it in Shuvas and Halacha relating to this way. For example, just one example quickly, I want to go on. If Shina Mekubetzes is not in the Mar Mekomos, it's on Sota, not Gemara. Habazuk Rishon, Habazuk Sheni. So Shita Megubetz says v'zivuk sheni kagona almoin la almana. What's considered zivuk sheni? Like a guy that's a widower and a widow.
Someone who widows.
What's he trying to say? Aval bachur shenasa almana. If he's never been married before and he marries a woman who's a widow, or ifcha. Or even if she's never been married before, right? As you hear that, that's a little different than we've been saying until now. Or she's never been married before, but he has. Having kemoi zivug rishon. That's like zivug rishon.
Because the first one...
Because one of them has never been married before.
Oh, doesn't that also come out in halacha in terms of like sheva brachos or something like that?
Yeah.
Is it zivug rishon for both of them?
It does not have to be for both of them. That's what.
Oh, is it?
That's shver. That's what we're trying to figure out. Because until now, Gemara always addresses the male, and it's saying that the guy has a zivug rishon. So what does it mean if he's already married? So the Tarot says, well, maybe because his wife died. I don't know. Anyway, Tarot, you got to work this out. But this is confusing. But the point is that again. You see, the Shnei Megubetzes, there are Rishonim that are definitely learning that Zug Rishon, Zivug Rishon, whatever the exact Girsa is first marriage and subsequent marriage. Fine.
Is there anyone who says who explains Zivug other than marriage? Because that's what we've been
assuming. It's where we're headed. Okay, we're going to skip the Marsha for now. Take a look at the Marsha. He discusses what it means. Kashik Kriyas Yamsuf. It's very interesting. But we're going to go back.
Oh, that's based on the Sanhedrin.
Now, the next Marim Mokum is the Rambam. The truth of the matter is, you want to see a good summary of Shitas Rambam. Take a look at the Ran in Moed Katan and Chesam Beis, which we'll see soon a greater snippet from it. But what, the bottom line is, like we said, the Rambam appears in a couple places. There's a famous tshuva of the Rambam, which is quoted here for you. V'zesh amar hachacham bito shel ploni, underneath the underlined part. V'zesh amar hachacham bito shel ploni, leploni, derech schar derech puranus huzeh. If it means that it's predestined, it means in terms of some kind of, you know, it's hard to understand exactly what the Rambam had in mind, at least for me, that it's some sort of schar or puranus. It can't possibly be that it's totally predestined. That if it's some kind of, you know, predestined, it can't be predestined, it means that he'll be zochet to the woman based on his actions or something, like they did a mitzvah, so he'll be zochet to, you know, a tzaddikas or something. And also maybe if he's a Russia, then it makes sense that he should be, you know, given a difficult wife or something like that. But ain't davar zeh hashava l'kol. The Rambam seems to reject out of hand, you know, the concept of this
this baskol, which I guess in a certain way we'd expect the Rambam. But if you take a look at the Ran, again in Moikad Nichas Mebeis, he really spells out, summarizes the whole Shita Rambam, because also based on his comments in Pirkei Avos, other places, fine. But in any case, so the Rambam pretty famously rejects the whole idea of the baskol anyhow. Fine. Is there any uncertainty as to whether a person will end up with that Zug Rishon? Because that was our whole problem, right? Is that, so guys well, end up marrying a girl, and she may not really be like appropriate based on my stuff, but according to the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Cheshbon, maybe for some kind of tikkun or something, so that would be appropriate. So he has to end up with that girl, and there's no Bechira involved, and like the first Zug is confusing now, because it's not Lefi Ma'asov. That's what we're confused about. So you take a look, there's a famous Gemara in Maikotin. The Gemara here says, and there's a snippet that's taken out of here, just so we can have the part that we're focusing on. So, Amar Shmuel, Mutil Adam...
Mutter
oh, three dots over here? Yeah. Mutter la'aris isha acher. It's mutter la'aris. What's la'aris? What's Aresin?
To marry.
Engagement.
Right. So don't translate as engagement because it's a misnomer based on today. It means married. It's kiddusha.
Yeah.
It's just that they used to wait the 12 months until nisuin, right? And we do that all at the same time. So la'aris means technically to marry, but they're not having chuppah yet. So just like they would do in the olden days, that he would marry her now, and they'd be technically married. She's married, but she's not living with him for another 12 months until they have the chuppah and the big su'udah called the nisuin, and when they do all of that. So the nisuin you're not allowed to have on Chol HaMoed, on Yantif, yeah?
So is it at nisuin that Hechnasas Kala would take effect?
What do you mean by that?
Like, is that... When does Hechnasas Kala...
Yeah, that's when people are collecting money. Is that what you mean? Hechnasas Kala, Hechnasas Kala. So yeah, that's to collect money, to pay for a big fancy wedding, right?
So that would be after Kiddushin, before Nisun.
Yeah. So, because the Kiddushin technically doesn't have to be... Because it has to be Shavuot Pruta. We didn't collect money for that for it. So it's mutter to have Erusin on Chol HaMoed. Why? Shema Yakdimenu Acher. Shema, Yakdimenu, Acher.
Others.
One, another. Not Acherim, but Acher. What? You mean it's possible for another guy to get my Basheret?
Just in case.
Says the Gemara, Omi Amar Shmuel, how can Shmuel say, Shema Yakdimenu Acher? Someone else is going to get her. Veha Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Suddenly, Rav Yehuda said his name was Shmuel. Until now, it was Rav Shmuel, that it was Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, and that was the whole contradiction because Rav was the one that said Ma'isav, and Rav was the one that said.
Rav Yehuda says a lot of things in the name,
but it's the name of Shmuel now, so it's a little interesting. Okay, but in any case, this cares.
I don't
know. It's all preordained. How could it possibly be that somebody else is going to get the Basheret, but she's not predestined for him? You got the kasha? And it's halacha based on this. You're allowed to have kiddushin on Chol HaMoed because of this. How can it possibly be? Pay attention to this Gemara. It's fascinating, and I don't want you to get confused. Isaac. El Hashem yakdimenu acher berachamim. Answers the Gemara, lest someone else come before him with what?
Rachamim.
What's rachamim?
Mercy.
Literally, well, that's what it literally means, but it means?
Charm.
Tefillah. Racham is tefillah. Tefillah is called rachamehi. In the Gemara, rachameh means to daven for mercy. So it means to daven. Someone may change. Okay, I don't know if I should say this or not. But it sounds like the Gemara is saying somebody could change the basheret based on his tefillahs. Now that's really confusing. You know why? Because the Gemara doesn't stop there. Ki hadir Rava. Like, I'll tell you a story. It happened to Rava. He heard this guy. He was davening, and he said, please let me marry Shprintze. I want to marry Shprintze. I want to marry Shprintze. Omar Lay and Rava said, Lo tiboy rachamei hachi. You should not daven like that. Ichaz yaloch, because if Shprintze is appropriate for you, she's your bashert, le'az laminoch. You will not lose her. V'iloy, and if she's not for you, kafarta basher. You're a kofer a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're denying a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rejecting Hashem. What does that mean? Wait a second. That's a contradiction to the Gemara. That's not what the Gemara just said, right? Then the Gemara just said you're allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed because maybe some other guy will daven for her and get her, right? Is that the whole point? And so Rava comes along, sees the guy davening, he says, don't daven because either you get her or you won't.
When does it say that?
What? There's no point in davening because... Because either she's for you, and if she's not for you, so then you're a koifer.
But by your tefillah, you can change the...
So then he should tell him, go to Davin. So why is he talking about to Davin?
Because it's specific.
Basar Hachi, after a subsequently, he heard the same guy saying, Oh, God, kill me or kill her. Kill me or kill her. Omar, what in the world? So why is he saying that now, right? Why is he saying that? Well, because maybe he sees that she's about to get married to some other guy, and he can't stand it. And he'd rather him die or her die, no? Omar, Rava says to this guy, didn't I tell you you shouldn't daven like that? Didn't I tell you, you see?
That's not even the proper way to daven.
And then that's when the Gemara we saw earlier, that you see from three places in Tanakh, Isha L'Ish. That's where the Gemara now quotes that point. Yeah.
Oh, this is where we took it.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading over Shabbos. I was reading a Breslov Sefer, and it was talking about... Am I being recorded?
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us later. Anyway, so Rashi on this Gemara, are you ready for this? Please pay attention. This is really, really interesting.
Oh, it's for Avi. Okay, fine. I don't care.
Kafarta Bashem. Kafarta Bashem. If not, you're being kofer Bashem. Be'emuna. Dika Amar. De lama sa'et chilusa kolom. Because you're not going to get her. That's what according to Rashi, is what Rav is saying. You're not going to get her. She's not for you. Your davening is useless. So either you're going to get her, in which case don't daven. Or if you're davening, you're a kofer Bashem. Why? Because you're not going to get her. And since you're not going to get her, what's going to end up happening? You're going to say to yourself, davening is useless. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't listen. You know, Chas V'Shalom, etc., etc. And you're going to be a kofer Bashem. Okay.
That's interesting.
Omar, Eloi Mintzibah, and he heard the guy davening, Kakash Baruch, you know, please kill one of us. Oh, Ihu, Atzmoyimus, I heard me, I underline the next part for you. Listen to this, Rashi. Rashi's bothered by Rava's whole contradiction to the whole Gemara. Because the whole point of the Gemara is, Shemi Akti Menu Acher Barachamim. Maybe somebody else is going to get her by davening. Rava comes along and says it's not true. Why is the Gemara quoting this? And the Gemara seems to say it's a Raya, Kiha. Isn't that Lashon Gemara?
Yeah.
What is Kiha. It? Kiha de Rava, meaning it's a proof. So what's going on over here? Says Rashi. Ulahachim aris b'maye. That's exactly why you're allowed to get married on Cholamoy. Shalo yakti menu acher berachamim. Last two words.
Shetamus.
Shetamus he. A person can't daven to change a basheret.
But he can daven to kill one?
He can daven that she should die.
Oh, so that's like the mother of the Kohen Gadol going to the Ari Miklat.
Okay.
That's an effect changing.
No?
Yeah, because the diamond that the Kohen Gadol should die. Good. Good. So Rashi's pshat is consistent now with Rava. That's what Rashi learns the Gemara. That Rava is saying, Shem Yakim and Machar Barachamim, because a person can always daven that she should die. You can't change a Basheret. You can't change that she should marry you.
Why don't we just say Zug?
But you can daven that she should die.
Ziva, Grishon, and Cheney.
What about it?
Why can't we say you can't change Rishon, but you can change Cheney? Well, by definition.
Maybe you could.
Change Rishon?
And Tosis asks your Kasha. Maybe you could.
Change Rishon.
Well, that's the problem.
Because the nature, Gemara's the nature
answer
of Cheney,
is you can't change Rishon. The Gemara could have answered, Kanbazivigrishon, maybe, right? That if right. It's a Zivigrishon, okay, you can't change it. So Rashi's saying, no, even Zivigrishon you can change. Not because you can change the Zivug, but you can cause her death. So Davin can affect even a Zivug Rishon. So it's a better answer.
Can't
than
you say that.
That
instead of causing her to die, he's asking for the guy to die, which would then change the Zivug?
You could, but that's not what he's davening for. That's not what he's davening. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara doesn't say he davening
because
for
he says me or her.
Maybe you could also daven for the guy to die. Maybe it's possible, but that's maybe right. Nechnami, but he's gonna ask for her to die because. You know, he wants to marry her, and if she's going to marry another guy. Okay, then there's a rat. Okay, so again, Rashi's chat is, you can't daven to change a basher, but you can daven to kill someone. The rat.
What's the difference?
Why are we drawing such a distinction? Even though there's a basher that is decreed in Shemayim, bas ploni l'ploni.
Isn't also when you're
going to
die, though?
Ben zuga v'yisa ena. The Ram says, no, you can daven to change the basher. You can daven to change the basher. She'll marry you. Like we originally assumed the Pashim Shah. Wait a minute, how do you understand the whole story of Rava? Rabbi said, don't daven like that. Listen to the Ram.
Because he...
But the Gemara concludes, and in the end, he'll die, or he'll divorce her, and then she'll marry the guy she's supposed to marry. What? How do you see this in the Gemara? What's going on over here?
Because of Kofras?
So listen to this. This is Mamash Shemshat. The Ram learns the Gemara totally different than Rashi. Rashi learned the story of Rava was, he heard this guy davening for somebody, and he said, don't daven like that. And then what happened next? That's Machlokas. According to Rashi, the way we originally read the Gemara, he didn't marry her. But he saw that she was going to marry some other guy. So now he says, oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please kill me or kill her. I can't bear to see her marry somebody else. According to the Ram
is saying he married
her. He married her. Very good. He married her. And now he's davening, oh my gosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can't deal with this woman. Kill me or kill her. So, in a Hanavi, says the Ram, you can daven to change the Bashert, and she may marry you, but I'm telling you right now, don't do it. You know why?
Because it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. You're a Koyfer Bashem because either you'll get her or you won't. And if you get her, oh boy, will you be sorry. So you'll divorce her, you'll die, or whatever, and then she'll end up marrying the guy she's supposed to marry anyhow. Okay, so there's a machlokus if you can change the Bashert, but ultimately they agree there's no way to change the Bashert, ultimately. But it does mean that she can marry somebody else before she may end up marrying her Bashert.
Yeah.
So you can have a guy that should be marrying a certain girl, but she'll get married to somebody else, but it won't last, but he won't be able to find his Bashert.
Instead of making it a straight path from Bashert to Bashert, you can throw like forks, but in the end the roads still meet.
What about the guy that never gets married?
Okay. I'll start to
Wasn't there a story in the Gemara about one guy that doesn't get married because he just wants to sit and learn?
Yeah.
Or he gets married for a week?
Yeah. Okay, so now, he tried, it didn't work, fine. So, but in any case, the Meiri, the next source of Meiri. Meiri has a totally different shot. What it means, Zugrishon Zugshengi. Until now, we've been assuming it means first marriage and subsequent marriage. But now is the Meiri. The Meiri says, you know what it means? That the only time that you can have a zivug that's based on maisav, it's the base of bechiris, yeah? Base of bechira, and the sechel soita, base of manav. The only time you can have a fi maisav is when his maisav make a difference. I mean, the guy's bechira. Well, how old do you have to be to have bechira? Does a katan have bechira? No. So if a kid or a girl are being set up to marry someone before their bar mitzvah, so that's called Zagrishon, because it's not based on Maisav.
Because their Maisav aren't their own.
It's irrelevant. It's not Bechira. In Modas.
Interesting.
But after bar mitzvah, then their Maisav make a difference, and then it's always Zugsheni. That's called Zugsheni.
So Zug is just referring to time.
That goes back to what you guys originally thought, right? That there are two types of Zivugim prepared for a guy. The Miri, I think, is the first time you see this. That there's two types in Nigla. There's two types of Zivugim prepared for a person. There's Zugrishon and Zugsheni. Zugrishon means that if a guy gets set up and there's like a predestined sort of thing, he has no mice of, so then there's a cheshbon for that. And Mina Shamai, there's a cheshbon for that. But normally, that's not the way it works. Normally, the way it works is you have a person that has myself, and the zivug always is to feed myself. That's why Rish Lakish begins. You know, the norm is lefi myself. The kasha on it is, well, how can it be lefi myself if a guy doesn't have any myself? The Torah says, okay, you're right, there's also a basco. Unusual pshat, no? Sounds like we're used to thinking. We're used to thinking that the normal zivug is the basco. But if something goes wrong, whatever, you end up, the Miri flips it around. It says, the norm is Lefi Maisav. You get married after you're a Bentas. But if a person's set up before he's even a Bentas, and you know, marriage, does it even work? How does it work? A guy's got a father's control over his son. It's only the girl. I don't know. It's Tzarech Iyun. I got to work this whole thing through. But in any case, that's what he should suggest. Because the setup was before he became a bar mitzvah, but then he marries her when he's a gadol, so he can marry her, but the zivug was based on before that. I don't know. Very interesting theory. Fine. The Be'er Sheva says like this. It's a Haggah in the Sefer Be'er Sheva. He says, I've seen all kinds of explanations what it means if Rishon Zugshein. None of them are straight in my eyes. L'chach l'ksav tim, and that's why I didn't write any of them. But b'chuvra shebe'ina, you want to know what makes sense to me? Hu das chach ve'emes. It's al pi kabbalah. Ki koidim yitziras avlad, before the formation of this baby, at conception, yachus zivug amis yachus al nafshoy. There is a zivug that makes sense, that relates to his soul. For who is zivug arishon? That's called zivug rishon. Ach, however. After he comes into the world, and it comes time for him to get married, they're going to evaluate him. His shidduch will be based on his actions. If he's zoicha, he'll get the one that was preordained. But if he's not zoicha, yaviruah mimenu, he shall be taken away from him. V'tinasin la'achar atov mimenu, and then she'll be given to somebody else that deserves her. Who's zivug shein? Lefi ma'isa, and he'll get whoever it is based on his ma'isa. It's okay.
According so zivug rishon is the mixture of the two, the baskol,
but it has nothing to do with who he marries first.
Right.
Nothing to do with that at all.
It has to do with possibility in a certain sense. Like, the first parent...
There's an ideal, and then there's if he messes himself up.
Right. So there's first pairing, but not first marriage.
Mm-hmm. So Be'er Sheva says, Zivug Rishon has nothing to do with who he marries first. Zivug Rishon means there are two Zivugim prepared for a person. There's the one that's predestined, there's the Bashert. That's a person that he should marry. But if he messes himself up, so then there's a Zivug chain. Sam Sofer has almost like an abstract chat that almost makes the entire thing irrelevant. According to Bashava, it's very relevant because like a person may feel like, oh man, I messed myself up and therefore I'm not marrying my Bashert. Don't worry, there's a zivug lafi myself, so you'll get a zivug, and it's kashuk krisyam suf, and that's what I was telling you before. That it's still a zivug, meaning there are two people. Could be that the world has to be ripped apart to bring them together because apparently they are appropriate for one another. But it wasn't the original one that's lafi according to his nisham. Sam Sofer basically says, take a look, it's the next Mari Makum here, basically says that the Zivug Rishon relates to Yitziras Havlad. What does he mean? I'll just say it outside, you can take a look inside. But when a Kadosh Baruch creates a being, man, he can't be without woman. Adam Arishon was created as a whole. Zachar u'nekeva bara usam. The whole of a human being means there must be male and female. So in the Yetziras of Vlad, in the conception even of the Vlad, there has to be male and female.
So your Bashar should be this...
When you start off, you have to have the ability to be either male or female.
No, well, yeah, but it's either or. But he's saying it has to be both. So he's saying at the time of conception, the neshama that's the male must have the female neshama connected to them to be created. Which is called Zug Rishon. But it has nothing to do with who you're going to marry. That's just to allow his creation. Once he comes into the world, who knows what's going to be? Everything's a female. So there's a zivug that's appropriate in the here and now in the physical.
Possibly your Bashar isn't the person who has the other half of your neshama.
Yeah. Because it's just to allow, it's to facilitate Bria. I think. So I'm saying the difference I see between the Chassam Sofer and the Be'er Sheva is the Be'er Sheva is basically saying if a person doesn't get his Zug Rishon, he messed up. I'm not sure, it could be the Chassam Sofer is saying the same thing ultimately, but he doesn't say it in that way. He says because there's a necessity for Bria that it come together, but after, you know, he's in the world, she's in the world, whatever, so, you know, people change, people are who they are. So it's not necessarily Shaykh that they should get that same Zivug. So I'm not sure if that's a negative necessarily. I don't know. Okay, anyway, it's interesting. The Chassam Sofer is a little bit different than the Be'er Sheva, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you wanted to know what happens if a person never gets married, these kinds of things, so that there's this, you know, the Rikanti, Rikanati, however you pronounce his name exactly. But he always perishes al pi kabbalah. So he has two perushim here And the first one is a little bit, you know, difficult to read, but we'll just scratch the surface a little bit. He says, "V'tam leisiyah kadesh v'liyeh kadesh." There is an isra in the Torah for a guy, basically, and a woman, to not be married, but to have relations outside of the context of marriage. Certainly, to designate themselves for the purposes of illicit relations, you know, a harlot, right? A prostitute. Tavin misoy lo yavoy mamzer. When a husband and wife are properly together, so it's a mashal of everything happening in Shemayim that's appropriate as well, and it produces a neshama of kedusha v'tahara. If a person has bia with a prostitute, with a kedusha, where that's not happening because they're not together in the way that the Kadosh Baruch Hu deems appropriate. Okay, don't ask me what this means. That what the result is that the divine influence, instead of coming through all the realms of Kedusha, it comes through the realm of what's referred to as the Pilegesh, quote unquote, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. And it ends up producing a neshama umevi kochos atuma lo oilam that are very negative. Kochos atuma. In addition, you should know that when Chazal say Arba'im Yom Kodim Etziras Kodim Tzuras Havlat Basko Machrezes V'Omeres Bas Ploni Lo Ploni, quotes our Gemara in Saito. V'lif Amin. Sometimes Yesh Einu Zochet B'Vazuga Lo Oilam. You wanted to know. Sometimes you have a person that never ever finds his Bas Zug. V'lo Yeschab Lo Oilam Zebos, and they never get married. V'Yahu Kadesh V'Hi Kadesha. Now, I don't know if he means that literally, if he means that figuratively. And it turns out that he is a Kadesha, she's a Kadesha. Because he's not producing the neshamas that are supposed to be produced. I think that's what he means. When a person is formed, he's already given his bashert. If he marries, he'll find her. Sounds like the Bersheva. Shinemar, matza isha matza tov. Remember the Ram? And sometimes he won't be able to get married until she marries someone else, koydem, before him. And then he'll be zoiche to her. And sometimes he'll never marry her ever. And that's when you speak about the Kadesh and the Kadesh, that they never end up producing what they're supposed to produce. You see them all in a pasuk. Elokim Hashiv Yechidim Beisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts individuals together in a home. Pause, stop. Motzi Asirim B'Koysha Rois, which originally, when we saw this pasuk the first time, we thought it meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out the people who are bound, meaning the slaves, B'Koysha Rois, at a time that's kosher, meaning it's Yas Mitzrayim. Wait a minute, he says. That's also part of bringing together people, but those people, instead of being Yechidim, are Asirim. Are bound up in chains in kosharos. Ach, serim shakutzli. He goes on the writer in the pasuk. He says, "Zoche bazugo v'tchila." The first part of the pasuk means that elokim hashiv yechidim beisa. That's people that find the people that are supposed to find their basher the first time without any troubles. Mish ain't a zoche v'ashitzas lachen. And she marries somebody else first before she marries him. Never moti asrim kosharos. That's taking people out of jail, so to speak. Yeah. Klomar bebechi v'shiros, which he translates a little bit differently, because the Medrash also says bekosheros bechi v'shiros. It takes something else to happen: crying, people davening. Kitzrichel his abel al arishon. He learned to this that it requires avelus on the first one, because let's say her husband died. Velivkos alav kodem hanasal she'eni before the marriage to the second one. Dugmas basheva al uria. It's a little bit different than you mentioned, but basheva al uria. Very interesting. Because she was the Basheret of David, apparently, but she married somebody else first. I wasn't David Melech's first wife. Maybe it's nothing to do with it. That's the last one that they never find. Okay, we're going to see this in a second, what he says about Gilgul. Okay, so that's interesting. Clearly, he's not learning has anything to do with first marriage. There's a zug rishon and a zug sheini. He's learning in this Alpi Kabbalah that there's something that's related to the neshama and something that's related to ma'isav. Now, the extreme, he says here, listen to this. The next Rikanti. Vian love on Ubisuel the Gamer. Da.
Rabbi Zinan Zal. So this comes back to Matzah. Me Hashem Yatzat Hadavar.
Yeah. He's on that pasuk. Because ultimately it's coming from Hashem. Sometimes it's preordained, sometimes it's lefi ma'isav. You want to know what it seems to me according to Kabbalah, what it really means, zivug rishon and zivug sheni? Ready for this? Buckle your seatbelts. Perish zivug rishon and zivug sheni, who? Ki zivug rishon remes and neshamas chadashos. Zivug rishon means that a person's given a wife the first time he comes to the world. It's a nefesh. It's a neshama chadasha. It's a new neshama. V'zivuk sheni remez l'soy de ibur, which means gilgulim. Zivuk sheni means if he comes back to the world again. So now it's l'fi ma'isav. Why it's l'fi ma'isav? L'fi ma'isav, he has to come back to gilgul.
Oh, because he. So he understands. Baken zivuk sheni
who l'fi ma'isav v'habein zeh. So he wants to say that according to this, you see nowadays even that there are chadashos, there are new neshamas coming to the world. Others dispute that. Nowadays it's all, you know, gilgulin. Okay, but in any case, he's learning that zugrishon means the first time a person is coming to the world, and the neshama comes to the world the first time ever, so then he's given a zugrishon, and sounds like that's who he marries, I guess. I don't know. But subsequently, when a person comes back with Gilgul, so he's not given the Bashar. Who says the Bashar comes back with him with Gilgul? Okay. So then it's Lefim Aisim. He's given a Zivug that was not the original. So this ends up with a big question that I've seen people ask before. What happens if a person comes back with Gilgul? He can have up to three Gilgulim, yeah? Three strikes and you're out. And so if a person comes back with Gilgul, so he has a different wife. It's not originally his original Basharet, according to this. So what happens in like Olam Haba or Tchias HaMeisim? What happened? Who is he reunited with?
His original.
So the Chari says, let's take a machlekes. Is it the one with which he achieved his Tikkun? Or is it the original one? Or does she, maybe she comes back every time? So he's saying she doesn't come back every time. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, very interesting question. Others ask the question.
Why wouldn't she though? If there's this, we're saying it's this connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't she?
Based on the Chassam Sofer, they have to be created with the two halves as a whole. That I don't know, but leaving out Chassam Sofer, I don't know who says. You know, who says you have to? What's the problem?
Right.
So I'll finish with this. Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva. According to the Zohar, there's something negative about marrying an almana. Something spooky about neshamas being connected to her, the neshama of the deceased male somehow, and it's like bad news, and he shouldn't marry an almana. Maybe it's a sakana for the new husband. That's different. That's a mitzvah. But here it means that if a woman is an almana, and there's no yibum at all, and now there's a guy that wants to marry her, might marry a widow. So according to Zohar, it's like dangerous because of the neshama of the deceased. So Rav Moshe Sura was asked, I shouldn't marry an almana. And so he has a lot to say about it, and there's a whole tikkun harashash. But he one point that he makes that is relevant to us, I'm not going through the whole tshuva, but just I want to zero in on one point he makes. So in the paragraph says, one of the reasons, he says, that in our time there's what to be lenient about is because the whole Zohar Kaddish over here, the Zohar is talking about Zivug Rishon that is problematic. Meaning because it's a new neshama, like the Kanani. But if it's talking about Zivug Sheni, and he says, Dahayon, Hazivugim, him Tomid, Begeder Zivug Sheni, Vahainu Shanishama is Megugolites. So then he says there's nothing to worry about Bechla. So one of his cheshbonos is taka based on this. That since nowadays we assume everybody is a Gilgul, so the neshama, there's no Zivug Rishon.
Why do we assume everyone's a Gilgul?
So it's based on other svarim and other things. That's what a lot of people say today. That the neshamas today, we're in the end of history. So nowadays there's no neshamas coming. Yeah, it's tikkunim happening now. But it's interesting to me because he writes the Hayom HaZivugim Him Tamid Begeder. Begeder Zivug Sheni. I'm curious about that. I'm very curious about what he meant by that.
What's Begeder Zivug Sheni?
It's in the Bechina of Zivug Sheni, but it's not necessarily Zivug Sheni. He seems to be hedging on that. Okay, but in any case, so let's try to summarize, because that's where we're going to stop. So the whole sugya begins with the idea that the Gemara says there are two zivugim. There's zivug rishon and zivug sheni. What exactly does that mean is a big discussion. Pashur pshat, it means first marriage and subsequent marriages. However, you end up with a lot of interesting problems because of that. So what does that really mean? The first one is mukhrach. How does it work with bechira? So there's the Rashi on that. There's the Rambam who rejected it seemingly because of that. And fine. Then the second mahalach seems to suggest... Oh, then we discussed, of course, what about davening to change it. So not so posh. Rashi learns you can daven to kill somebody, but you can't daven to change it. And even those who learn you can daven to change it, like the Ran, says, but it's not going to work. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. The whole story of Rava is saying that it's not going to work because ultimately she'll go back to the other guy because you're going to die, or not you, but the person's going to die, or he's going to divorce her because she's going to have to marry the guy she's predestined for anyway. So it sounds like you can't really change a zivug rishon. Now, according to that, you have to wonder what it means exactly, zivug rishon, because she's an almana, but he assumingly hasn't been married yet. So according to that, we're still working with the pshat that zivug rishon means first marriage. As you go weiter, you see the Meiri. The Meiri is the one that suggests that zivug rishon means like before a kid's really bar mitzvah, he's already set up or something like that. In which case, it wasn't based on ma'isav, it's all based on... So that's that flips the whole pshat on its head, that the norm is lefi ma'isav, and there's sort of like, you know, it's other zivug rishon, which is not necessarily the norm. And then when you see the Be'er Sheva, you start to see the Pshat al-Pi Kabbalah, that there are actually two possible zivugim all the time. It has nothing to do with the first marriage at all. It has to do with there is a certain preordained basheret, and if a person, according to Be'er Sheva, messes himself up, then he may not get it. But don't worry, there's a zivug sheni, and as I pointed out to you, and I'm trying to stress this a lot, that the zivug sheni isn't a negative thing. It's also a basheret, but it's not a basheret that's preordained from before creation. It's a basheret of the here and now. But no one should ever think, even if I am only getting a zivug sheni for whatever reason, that that's not some kind of basher. It's kashrus kriyas yamsuf. Kashrus Baruch Hu is bringing people together that are totally appropriate for one another. It's just not the one that was a preordained, you know, from the baskel. Okay, not so bad. But in any case, but that's secondary according to the Be'er Sheva. Chasam Sofer may be making this very, very abstract and saying that the zivug rishon, I don't know that it necessarily has to happen at all. That's all to facilitate the bria. But the zug is generally based on myself because people are always changing, people are doing all kinds of things when they get to the world. So I'm not sure exactly if he stems with the Be'er Sheva or not. And as you get on to the Rikandi, so then he says right away that zug rishon has nothing to do with like some servant, others not saying like that at all. It has to do with the first time when Nishan comes to the world, he doesn't deal with myself, and he doesn't deal with, maybe you have to put them all together, but he doesn't deal at all with Lefi myself based on a person, you know, in his Neshama Chadasha coming to the world. So what happens to him? He has to marry that woman? We should have back to square one where we started with the Rashi. So I don't know if he has to work with her. Anyway, that requires a lot of examination. But Sof Kol Sof, he's saying that the Zug Rishon is Shayach to the Neshama Chadasha, and the Zug Sheni that Gemara discusses, the Fim Aisav, is much more abstract than we originally understood it. The Fim Aisav means according to the fact that he is back by Gilgal. So he's been given there is a Shiruch, a Zivug, that's prepared for every person, even if he's back by Gilgal. And that may even be relevant in the Halacha Lamaise, that one of the reasons a person should not be concerned to marry an Almana is Manazeh, because either we're Mamash Gilgulim, or at least we're Begeder Zivug Sheni. I'm not sure what he means by that. If he assumes that we're just all not living up to our potential, like the Be'er Sheva, and so the Mamela, we're always sort of marrying our Zivug Sheni, or if he means something else.
Zivug Sheni. Okay.